Take this fumbling tongue and paint a beautiful picture of your love for each of us. Amen. Today we also celebrate Father's Day, tomorrow, and I would like to speak today on how we relate to our Heavenly Father. So if you will, I need two volunteers to start out with. I think Cody said he would help me out, and Jacob. Jacob and Cody, would you like to come up? Okay, we see all around us people displaying who and what they identify with. Personal license plates, bumper stickers, t-shirts, tattoos. And I got this t-shirt, or these two t-shirts from somebody at my house that knows a few racers. And so I brought these along. He was there, did that, and has the t-shirt. We also may identify with, in this way, with sports teams, loved ones, movies, movie stars, politicians, hip-hop and rock bands, political parties, religious theories or beliefs, and you see it all around us, people saying, this is what I am, this is what I believe in. Thank you, boys, very much. You can go back to your seats. We hear, I believe in evolution, I'm an atheist. Even among professed believers, we hear ideas of humanism, pantheism, and ecumenicalism that come in confusing messages that attempt to trump Bible truth. People strive in their own strength to be good, but fail to identify with the one true God that can elevate them and bring them purpose in life. Webster's Dictionary describes identity as, and you can see it on the screen, the relation established by psychological identification to associate oneself with, oneness, a set of personal or behavioral characteristics by which an individual is recognized, consciously or unconsciously, everyone forms a concept of personal identity. As children, we identify with our own family, whether we're happy with that identity or not. As adults, we may connect our identity with what we have accomplished or accumulated, the success or failure of a career or relationships. We espouse ideas and beliefs that appeal to us. Our identity is molded by heredity and experience in life. It influences the value we place on ourselves. Not everyone has memories of a father or mother who was kind, devoted, or trustworthy. In human relationships, we can only see glimpses of the self-denying love of God. Jesus addressed God as my Father in heaven and our Father in heaven. How do we relate to a loving Heavenly Father if we have memories only of the failures of our parents? Let's take a moment to consider how the great Creator of the universe identifies with us. When He made us, God intended that we should have a loving father and mother. He was a father to Adam and Eve. He walked and talked with them daily. By disobedience, Adam and Eve separated themselves from their father, and because of their sin, they lost the beautiful robe of light that was a symbol of their purity. Will we wear that robe of light again? It's easy when we're proud of a child to tell everyone, "That's my kid." We love to identify. On the other hand, when we're embarrassed by them, we say, "That kid is his, not mine." Adam and Eve's sin and disgrace certainly could have been embarrassing or even disgusting to God. He could have said, "I love my children, but they sure messed up. Let them face the consequences." But he loved us so much that he gave his only son, Jesus, to come from the splendor of heaven to this dark earth so that we could forever be redeemed from our identity with sin to sons and daughters of God. Jesus raised the standard of love and holiness. He was able to live God's character of love. In him, our longing to identify with a holier, perfectly loving Father is met. While he was here on earth, Jesus repeatedly taught us how to identify with him and his Father. His recorded words alone, we find all the answers we need to live with him forever. That Bible, and I have one right here in the chair behind me that I was going to hold up. Oh, it's down there. You've got your Bibles. This Word of God, it is so valuable. It gives us everything we need. It is priceless. In Matthew 11, 28 to 30, Jesus invites, and this is our text this morning, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Do we take time to come to him individually and pray? Give him all of our burdens. Are we willing to learn of his meek and lowly character? What does it mean to take his yoke? A yoke was used to connect two animals together for the purpose of doing a job. Jesus' mission or job on earth was to reveal God's love and his character of love. He first surrendered every thought and action to his Father in heaven. He was often in prayer and based his words and actions on inspired scripture. He healed the sick and helped those in need. He calls us to join him in this work. In John 3:3, Jesus explained to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." The carnal mind must die and be born again by the Spirit. In John 15:4-5, Jesus says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." In later years, Paul wrote in Philippians 2:5-8, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in me. How can I have the same mind as Christ? Is this even possible? Are we satisfied to say, 'I believe,' and go about life never to realize Jesus' mind in us? How can we identify with Christ in such a way that even our thoughts are like his? Jesus illustrated an important lesson in the parable of the wedding feast. Now, I love weddings, especially if it's someone close to me. And someday soon, I hope my youngest son is going to be married. And I want to buy a beautiful dress. Are you with me, ladies? Don't we love to buy a dress for a wedding? But Jesus, in Matthew 22, he talked about a wedding garment as well. So if you can turn in your Bibles, I don't have this on the screen, Matthew 22, and we're going to just start with verse 10. This is the parable where the king had planned a wedding for his son and invited guests, and they refused. Many of them refused. They had other excuses why they shouldn't come. They had even persecuted his messengers. Finally, he said to his servants, invite everyone you find to the marriage. And starting with verse 10, so those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man without a wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot, and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called and few are chosen. A garment had been supplied for each of the guests, as was customary in that time. I can't even imagine the deep disappointment, the weeping, the gnashing of teeth, as that guest had that didn't put on the wedding garment. I can imagine my own disappointment if I were to attend my son's wedding and have him say, hey mom, didn't you get the memo? You were supposed to wear pastel pink or blue, and here you are with a red dress. Well, I like that color better. But mom, you will clash with everyone else. You can't stand up here for pictures. Now, that is not likely to happen. But to clash or be out of harmony in heaven is something that won't be allowed in heaven. We will all need the wedding garment there. In one of my favorite books, Christ Object Lessons, and let's see if, there we have the wedding feast there on the screen. Ellen White says, it gives us a little insight about the wedding garment. We read, only the covering that Christ himself has provided can make us meet to appear in God's presence. This robe woven in the loom of heaven has in it not one thread of human devising. Christ is in his humanity wrought out a perfect character, and this character he offers to impart to us. By his perfect obedience, he made it possible for every human being to obey God's commandments. When we submit ourselves to Christ, the heart is united with his heart. The will is merged with his will. The mind becomes one with his mind. And the thoughts are brought into captivity to him. We live his life. That is what is meant to be clothed with the garment of his righteousness. Let's go back to Philippians, the earlier text. Paul, continuing on with verse 12, says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked nation, among whom you shine as lights to the world. You are lights, And we saw quite a few shining lights today in our testimony time. And each one of us can be a light. When I think of someone who followed Jesus, I think of my father. I was blessed with a father who prayed, read God's word, and identified with Jesus in the experiences of life. Bob Batte was not perfect, but it was plain to see that he took the yoke of Christ and learned of him. He is no longer alive, but I'm still learning from his choices and would like to honor him this morning. I can't read you the story that's written here of him, just to tell you that all of his life, he took care of people. He cared for my mother until she died, my brother until he died, and then his new wife, because of some mistakes, went to federal penitentiary. She was Hispanic and had helped some people, some friends, across the border into the U.S., and that's why she went. And then he dedicated his life, the rest of his life. He was a literature evangelist after he retired, but he dedicated the rest of his life to helping a little church south of the border, a little dirty, violent border town. And there he died, helping the people there. The sacrifices he made and the sacrifices we make are nothing compared to the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. We have the choice to identify with the humble, self-denying Jesus and be transformed into his likeness. In heaven, we won't say, been there, done that, and still have the t-shirt. We will say in amazement, I was given this beautiful white garment, the righteousness of Jesus, and my Father gave it to me. Then we will bow at the feet of Jesus and we'll praise him forever. Let's bow our heads for the benediction. Father, thank you for doing your work in our minds, in our hearts, for using us to shine forth as lights for you. Thank you for the privilege of being your sons and daughters. In Jesus' precious name, amen.